This is my palace, champagne in my chalice. I got it all covered like a wedding band. Wonderland, so my alias is Alice. And we gon' start a mother riot. Or we gon' have to put them on a diet. Look at that, I guarantee I got them quiet. Look at that, I guarantee they all inspired. A-Town made it out there. Straight out Kansas City, yeah, we made it out there. Celebrated, graduated, made it pass fail. Sassy.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Reality Check with Karen Diamond.
Hey y'all.
I'm Diamond.
And I'm Kara.
And yeah, so just like all our other episodes, we're going to get into our mic check. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. So, mic check, Kara. How you doing?
How am I doing? It is almost June, which means the school year is almost over, which is so exciting. What else? I feel like this year is going by fast because June is halfway through. Good 3-day weekend. Was able to get some rest and, clean out the house. So that helps, but I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. How are you doing, Mike Chet?
Well, since our last episode, I have officially graduated.
You need a little, some noise effects in there.
So life is very different for me in that aspect. I don't have to worry about school right now and just working. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me. It's definitely a relief.
Yes.
It doesn't feel real sometimes that I'm just like, oh, I have this free time. And it, like, I don't have to do anything for school. I'm just free.
I'm free.
So, yeah. That's the biggest thing that has changed for me since our last episode.
I know that's a good feeling. Don't have to worry about no papers, no reading, no lectures, no nothing. Like, please.
And one of my classmates actually, she texted us and she was like, don't forget about an assignment. It's due at 11:59. And for like literally 5 seconds, my heart dropped because I was just like, did I forget to do something?
Was it a joke?
It was a joke. It was a joke. Because it was after we graduated.
Okay.
And I was like, and I texted, I was just like, girl, I took you serious.
That's
like
a good joke. Seconds. That's a good prank. That is a good one.
Immediate panic. Yes.
Oh, no. We would have had to fight, though. It's like, couldn't cause me anxiety.
Right. Like, you already know how this goes here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it feels surreal still.
I bet. Cry. Yeah, it's like...
That's over.
Did you get your paper degree yet?
I didn't get the degree yet. Mm-hmm. It's coming, they said, in 3 weeks.
Okay.
They sent... Which I didn't even know they do that. They sent, like, a digital copy. Oh. Which I guess is good because when you apply to jobs and stuff, just send them. I was like, I've never gotten a digital copy of my degree.
Other degrees.
So, yeah. Hmm. I have a digital copy. That made it feel real. I was like... I did do that.
Right. He was like, this is nice, but... Yeah.
I want the physical thing.
Oh, but you know what? That's... Now, it's like, you could probably print one, like, if you have an office space.
True.
Have one at home, and then one in your office, and...
Right. Yeah, because as soon as I get it, I'm just going to ship it to my mom. She has all my degrees.
No, you got to hang that up.
I mean, I don't have an office or anything.
You got a house.
Girl.
Put it above your bed.
I ship it off to her. She literally has my first 2 degrees. Mm-hmm. She has my cap and gowns and the tassels. No. I ordered her an extra tassel. I keep one tassel.
Oh, good.
Then give her one.
Yes. No. So you need to put that in your dining room. In your bathroom.
Not in my bathroom. These are my degrees.
Yeah. Everyone say hello to my degrees. Yes.
Oh, goodness. So, as usual, we do want to hear from you guys. So, if you ever get to the page and you see the mic check, definitely check in. We want to hear about you because we know that life is hard and life gets kind of crazy. So, we definitely want to make sure that our listeners are doing well.
All right, so this portion of our podcast, we are going to try something different. We have a few questions, kind of like this or that questions, that are work-related. And so we can just simply answer this or that, what you prefer, or if you need to add a little bit on it too, like why, we can do that too. Choosing. So you ready, Diamond?
Yeah, because this week our podcast will be about working in our fields and being black women in our fields.
Yes, being black. Just being black. Being black. All right, so the first question I have for our this or that, would you rather make a phone call or send an email?
Definitely an email.
you was ready. I was like, can I finish?
Nope.
You like, definitely email. Okay, okay. And then I say now a phone call.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So you have to explain an email, and I got you on my phone call. Yeah.
So email for me, because it's like I can edit it, make sure I'm saying things properly, make sure that I'm covering all my bases and everything. I feel like with a phone call, you know, sometimes you get into a conversation and you forget what you plan to say.
Yeah.
So I can hit all my points in an email.
That's good. I say a phone call now, because you can end a phone call, where an email, at least in my area, is like, okay, but they find another question, or it's like we have this whole thread, where a phone call is like, okay, hopefully I answered your problem. If not, I have to go. I got something else that I got to attend to, and we could chat later. And I think sometimes, again, in my field, most people will value that not heart-to-heart, but that, I don't know, what you want to call
like
it?
Like being, I guess, personable?
Yeah.
Interaction?
And you can hear my voice, I can hear your voice. Yeah. There's no tone, so.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Yeah.
And emails also give paper trail. In case, you ever got to pull it back up and be like, no.
This is what I said.
I said that. So.
All right, our next one. Would you rather do something you love and make just enough money to get by, or do something you hate but make billions of dollars?
Definitely something I love and make just enough to get by. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's always been me. Like, when it comes to money, I'm just like, I mean, obviously I want to be able to afford things and afford myself and afford what I need.
Yeah.
But I would rather get up and be like, oh my God, I can't wait to go do this thing or whatever it is. So I'm definitely I'd rather do what I love.
Dang. Before you gave your answer and explanation, that was good. I was definitely, and I was gonna be like, give me the billions of dollars.
Oh, goodness.
Because I'm broke right now. Give it here. Like, but I hear you 100%, because at the end of the day, you have to do that every day,
right?
Like, whatever it is.
Right.
And so, like, money can't buy you happiness, but it helps out with the
stress. It definitely does help with the happiness.
Yes.
Because then you can do whatever you want with the billions of dollars.
Yeah, but right about now, let me get the billions, please.
Listen.
Let me get the billions.
Okay, how about this? You get the billions, and you know, just slap me if
you
a little bit over here.
No, but you
way.
Do what you love, right? You do. She's like, let me just kiss. No, you doing what you love. Now, keep that same energy. All right. Our third one. Would you rather receive a catered lunch every day at work, but never get to choose what you order, or pack your own lunch every day?
Oh my gosh, that is actually a difficult one. Because catered and I'm not choosing.
Right.
Now you're going to give me like avocado toast or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pissed off.
Or some potato salad with raisins.
Yeah, something
I don't want
to eat.
But it's catered.
I know, but if I don't want to eat it, who cares?
True. That's a good point.
Okay, but who's catering it is the question.
Your cafeteria place? Or not your cafeteria place, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to bring
good,
my own lunch.
She's like, I bring my own lunch, because you have a choice.
What about you?
I might actually be the catered lunch.
Okay.
Because sometimes I'm lazy, or I don't have time to pack my own lunch.
Yeah, of course.
And if it's just a bag of chips in there that I like, I will eat that bag of chips.
The bag of chips is enough.
The bag of Lay's. Okay.
Fair.
All right. Would you rather have a job where you talk to people all day, or a job where you stay at your desk by yourself all day?
Damn. I mean, my job is talking to people all day. That is hard, too, because I would love to just be at my desk and be left alone.
Right, correct.
Don't but probably, all. Oh my God. No, this is hard.
She's like, this was the horrible one.
Probably talk to people.
People talk to people all day? Yeah.
Yeah, because I can always go home and just everybody be quiet. Mm-hmm. Sitting at my desk and never talking to anybody, that would probably be, I don't know, maybe boring.
Yeah.
Or not.
That's it, right.
I'm somewhere in between.
It's hard. It's like, to ask me in a different month. Yeah, right. Yeah, I would definitely say, of course, now.
Yeah.
I would love to just stay at my desk and be by myself all day.
Yeah.
Because I make too many decisions at work, at home. Just, just please let me listen to my Pandora.
Right. You're actually right. I feel like I am more of a, especially my personality, is more of a sit at the desk, do my own work, and mind my business.
We tired.
So, yeah, I go with that. Yeah. That would probably
All right. And last one. This should be a fun one. Would you rather wear headphones at work or have music playing over a speaker?
Headphones.
Really?
I put my headphones on anyway. Like, I put one headphone in.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when I'm charting and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you can get the groove.
Right, you're able to do that better on night shift, because day shift, no.
Yeah.
But I would rather headphones, because then if it's over the speaker, who's controlling the playlist?
Oh, that's good. You're right, because I definitely said speaker, because I don't want to keep having to take off my headphones. Like, what you say? What?
Gotcha.
Huh? What? So, music in the background, we can talk, I can tell you, but you keep walking up to me and I gotta take my headphones out. Like, what?
I'm weak. Because then, if you have it over the speaker, you gotta make sure it's the edited version.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because everybody's listening.
Make sure you have the proper playlist.
That's true.
No, and I have my headphones in. I can listen to whatever I want.
She can listen to Meg Thee Stallion, Doja Cat, it don't matter.
Right.
Glorilla.
Okay, because Glow. Yeah. I need to get that through work.
Unedited. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm like, I would love some headphones, but I got too many people coming up to me. I'm like, I can't get through one.
What do you want?
Yeah. Pause. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was pretty fun. That was the end of the little this or that.
Yeah, work session. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll post something and you guys can answer some of the this or that. What would you rather? Mm-hmm. So now that we've done that, let's get into our topic.
All right. Too bad y'all can't see Diamond over here dancing.
I talk a lot with my hands.
Let's get into our topic.
So first things first, we kind of want to get into a little bit of what we do, like the fields that we're in. So you can go ahead and start off.
Okay, I will start. So as most of you all know, if you're listening, I am a assistant principal at a local middle school. Well, I wouldn't say local. I live in a different district than where I work at, but it's about 30 minutes away. This is going to be my 10th year in education, my third year as a assistant principal, so third year in leadership, and then, of course, public school. So when you think of public school in the United States of America, it's more of white females dominating in the classroom. Would I say leadership? Because now leadership is more diverse. You see a lot of females in leadership, which is good. But definitely teachers in the education role, it's that white female is dominant. So, yeah, assistant principal education is my field.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And so, for those of you who don't know, my field is nursing. I work in, like, the birthing world, so a birthing center. So, with that being said, naturally, nursing is predominantly, like, dominated by white women, and more so in the birthing world, because I don't think a lot of men want to go into getting these babies over. So, and the leadership there, it's women, which, I mean, is a good thing as far as leadership, but it's definitely a lot of white women. Even the doctors tend to be white males. Mm-hmm. So my field overall, I think that healthcare as a whole is dominated by white people.
How many years have you been in your field?
4 years.
Four?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been in for 4 years. And it actually is pretty interesting going into the field because I obtained my nursing degree from an HBCU. So it was just like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's, yes, North Carolina Central.
Yeah, Eagle Pride. Amplify.
You see, like, all the black nurses that are going out into the world from your program. And you get out into the world, and it's just like, it's not really many of us. But I think it also depends on the specialty because, like, emergency, ICU, and stuff like that, I've definitely seen a lot more black women. And then even labor and delivery, I see a lot more black nurses there. But, yeah, so that's my field. My field is nursing and then the birthing world.
The birthing world, right. So, of course, our topic we're really wanting to discuss with you all, with our listeners, is first of all, being black in our fields, and then on top of that, adding another layer, being a black female in our fields. And so, definitely for me, it's leadership, supervision, so it's pretty lonely at the top, what they say. And then most people would say too that I not shot my way up, but they're like, oh, because you don't really climb the ladder in education, but it's like, oh, you got to where you are now so early, so young, because most of my staff members, if not all of them are older than me.
Gotcha.
And so.
How long have you been in education for?
Yep, so 10 years. So I started teaching in 2014.
Okay.
Yep, graduated in 2013. And took over a classroom where this was a red flag too, but the teacher left after Christmas break, so she didn't come back. And so they were looking for a teacher. I was like, sign me up, right?
Fresh out. Yeah, this is the job.
Sign me up. Okay. And so, but yeah, and so even then, I had a black female principal who I looked up to, and that was my first, of course, my first experience with a black female leader.
Gotcha.
Just to see that. But yeah, I was just talking about our work fields, our ups and downs, our trials, and probably discuss a few tips for any of those who are listening. It's like, I see myself or I'm dealing with this right now. Mm-hmm. How can I manage? Because you can manage.
Right.
And then just bring awareness. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't feel like you're alone out in the world, because it's definitely hard when you experience certain things and you don't know, like, how to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that some of the tips that we have to offer will definitely help with that.
All right.
So, for me, as far as discussing what some of the, issues that I run into, just coming in, you know, naturally, as a black woman, we already have that. The negative thing of, like, the angry black woman.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing that I find that I'm always combating, because naturally I'm a quiet person, especially, like, when coming into something new.
Yeah.
And I think that often that can be perceived as having an attitude or, like, being standoffish and things like that. So I think that that's some of the issues that I find, or I have seen, where my white counterparts or white peers, they're new and they come in and they're quiet. Mm-hmm. It's viewed as, oh, they're shy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it'll just take them a little bit of time. And they, like, kind of welcome them with warm arms. And like, oh, you want
to,
I remember
trying
one job. Right.
Yeah.
At one job, they had a book club that they did. And they were like, well, you want to come join book club? And it's done the third.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got that same welcoming. So,
yeah.
That's definitely something that I've seen as far as being a black woman, is that people already kind of have this idea of who they think you are.
Yeah, I would say that too. And I try to think, even back when I was in the classroom, you're able, and hopefully you can do this too, but it's like you're able to find your niche of people. And so unless I was working with them, like, if I was a first grade teacher, which I never was, third grade is where it's at, but if I was a first grade teacher, there's some days where I can get by where I'm not really dealing closely with other teachers, and then other days I have to work directly with them. And so it's like, I think for me, in the classroom, I kind of kept to myself, where I didn't really tiptoe around with that issues, but, like, dealing with parents, I can think back now too. It's like just like the tone they mm-hmm. would talk to me mm-hmm. or how they would address me or not address me. Like mm-hmm. looking back now, mm-hmm. I feel like in the moment I never realized right. like, oh, this what are they doing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I agree with you with the being the angry black female. It's mm-hmm. just like now in leadership, I keep that in mind.
Right.
I don't want nobody to feel uncomfortable. I don't want anybody mm-hmm. to feel like I'm coming for them.
Right.
I'm always calm, not calm, sorry. I'm always like clear, or I try to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have conversations with some staff members where I'm not clear with my intentions. Mm-hmm. And so moving forward is like, no, I want to be clear. If I see an issue with your work as a supervisor, I'm going to support you in that. Mm-hmm. If I like to crack jokes and stuff yeah. and make everybody comfortable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely agree with you got to tread water.
Yeah.
And you got to read the room. And mm-hmm. it's like you have to put on a mask or you have mm-hmm. to. What is it? Not color code. You have to code switch.
Code switch,
I said color
yeah.
code. But code switch to make everybody else comfortable mm-hmm. while you're uncomfortable sometimes.
Right. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. As a black woman, like you say, you do have to be mindful of how you say things
mm-hmm.
and like your tone.
Yes.
The volume. Like, I feel like you can't be super expressive mm-hmm. and it's deemed as an attitude. Like,
right.
It's very completely different. I
yeah.
think. Is what and you have and you learn that like at an early age
mm-hmm.
you kind of mm-hmm. get the idea sometimes before you even go out into the workforce
yeah.
to know that this is something that you'll have to deal with as a black woman
yeah.
when you get there and
yeah.
then also being undermined as
yes.
far as or not being acknowledged. I know for me in my field a lot of the times patients will think that I'm environmental services, so like coming to clean their room,
mm-hmm.
or I'm the nurse aide to like do the things that the nurses,
crazy.
The nurse aides do,
mm-hmm.
or even nutrition, like coming to collect their like menu,
mm-hmm.
even though I very visibly have a tag.
Yes.
It's just like upon initial, like them making eye contact or even after I introduce myself,
yeah.
in their mind, they already have in their head what they thought I was, so
yeah.
sometimes it's hard for them to break that stereotype. Or even if you're in the hallway and they see you and they will approach you and be like, oh, my wife needs her trash to be taken out. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you overcome that? Or how, like, I know there's probably certain situations,
right.
but how do you say address the elephant in the room? But like, how do you correct them and say, yeah.
I mean, because as nurses, like, you will do it. You don't want to be the person of like, oh, no, that's their job, so I'm just going to let them come do it.
Yeah.
You will still like, be like, all right, I will come and remove your trash.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm busy, I'll say, okay, I will notify your nurse
mm-hmm.
and let your nurse know, or something like that.
Yeah.
I think you do have to learn how to address something if it keeps happening.
Yeah.
Or like if you're being ignored. Like I remember I was at a job and the nurse just would always mess up my name.
Mm.
Like, will always call me something else.
Oh, I'm like, how do you mess up?
Right,
man,
will call me something else. Like, I'd be every D name under the sun.
There's not a lot of D female names.
No, and that was the thing. And so I was
yeah.
just like, I feel like this is being done on purpose because
oh, yeah.
When we get our report, like, our names go on a sheet. And
correct.
Like, you know who you're giving report to.
Yeah.
And she would, every name in the book. And so me, at first I was being like kind of petty, so I would be like, okay, well every time I give her a report, I'm just going to write another name
different
for her
names,
name.
Yeah.
But then I had to approach her, and I was just like, you do know that my name is Diamond,
yeah.
right? Like
uh-huh.
you. And then her excuse was like, oh, I'm just like, I'm so tired. And I was just like, but it's something you continuously do. So
yeah.
I think that when stuff like that happens, you have to have the courage to approach somebody.
That's
because
good.
She stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't continue
yeah,
to do it.
Yeah, they stopped
after.
When you call them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think it's important to know how to go about it and without, like, being aggressive or being upset.
Right.
Like, I had to make sure that I was, like, calm.
Yeah.
And not, even though I was annoyed and frustrated by
yeah.
it, it's important to kind of try and put your feelings to the side and not, let that get in the way.
What's that saying? It's like what you don't address, you allow, or something along that
yeah,
lines.
Yeah.
And so I think that's good that you like found that time to like, my name's Diamond.
Right.
Get it right, please.
It's but, really not.
Yes.
It's not even a complicated name, guys.
Stop being disrespectful with these microaggressions. Yeah. And that. So, yeah, that's exactly what that is. And I think, and we talked about this earlier, too, is like, I might be in meetings or meetings with parents, and I notice eye contact because I'm huge on that. Even though it might be uncomfortable, I'm going to try my best to look in your eye when you're talking, when I'm talking.
Right.
And so there's times where there's parents where they would look at everybody else in the room but me. And it's like, it's only four of us in here.
Right.
And like, I'm pretty sure, like, yeah, you might be addressing the teachers, but I'm part of this team. I'm part of this table, too. Mm-hmm. And so definitely that, and then that's hard because I'm not going to stop the meeting and say, hey, you're not making eye contact, but I try to like model like, okay, when I'm talking, I'm going to make sure I'm looking at everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but definitely it's just like, we have to call it out and nip it in the bud, because if we don't, I feel like people are going to continue to do what they're doing, and we're just like, okay.
Right. Because I'm sure it's not the first time that they've done it.
Right.
And they probably have gotten accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And so they just don't know. Or maybe they do know and they simply don't care.
I'm starting to, I'm like, if we grown adults, like, you know, you gotta know.
Right.
Like, you gotta know what you're doing. And that's the tricky part, too. But it's like, but sometimes you gotta teach people, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And learn to stand up for yourself, especially in the professional world.
Yeah. I have another situation, too, where I want to say my first year as an assistant principal, I want to say a staff member had a situation that dealt with a black student, and that staff member came to me to address it, and it was awkward because it's like, as an assistant principal, I want to support my teachers, support the staff. I also want to support the students, but like, why did you come to me, the black female leader, and not go to my counterparts or not go to the principal? And so, talking to one of my mentors at the time, they're like, they probably, most likely they probably came to you thinking like you can have a connection with that black female, or they assume that they will only listen to you because you're black. Like, all those things that we unpack. And so, my mentor, like, encouraged me. He's like, no, go have a conversation with that staff member and kind of address it. Because it's like, anybody could have came and helped that staff member with that student. But it's like, it's a black female wanting to talk to another black female.
Right.
And it's like, And so, sometimes I feel like that doesn't happen as much now because it's like I try to have relationships with all students.
Yeah.
And so it's like I don't bother with that. But then we also encourage like students to have like their trusted adult. And so their trusted adult may look like them, may not look like them. And so we kind of follow that. But definitely I remember back then I was like, I wasn't that student's trusted adult.
Yeah,
like,
so
I don't know.
You just assume.
Like, little old me. And like, And so, stuff like that, you might see that sometimes in leadership, where it's like, okay, like, oh, you're a black male, so go talk to the black male. And kind of build that relationship with that black male. But you can't force it if there's not a relationship there.
Right.
So,
and I can kind of speak to that a little bit. As far as I do find with patients, and when I get my assignments, they end up giving me like the behavioral patients or the complicated patients. And I recently like had to speak to my manager about that because I'm just like, well, what is it about that? Like, what is it about me that suddenly you feel like I can deal with the behavioral patients? And their excuse would be, well, we believe your personality fits better. And then I have to ask them, well, what about my personality makes you think that I fit this patient? Like, what makes you think that my personality can fit somebody that has a behavioral problem?
Which is crazy.
Then that's something that we now need to address. So I definitely deal with that more often than I would like to deal with.
Yeah, and it gets draining, too. That's unfair to you. And it happens to the teachers as well. like, and definitely black female teachers, because I'm trying to think of my white female teacher who are friends or just that I know of, and I was like, they don't really have behavior problems in their classes. Mm-hmm. They get to say, I want this type of student or this type of mm-hmm. cohort in my class, mm-hmm. and they got it. But I'm thinking about, especially back in my day when I was in the classroom, it sounds so long ago, definitely, like, leadership was like, okay, we're going to put so-and-so in your classroom mm-hmm. because you can handle that. Or they say, yeah. you have great classroom management, so you can teach everybody else right. in this building good classroom right. management. Because that's where that burnout is coming from, and mm-hmm. that's how you're going to burn out your good teachers. Mm-hmm. So you see that in education, too.
For sure.
And it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's mm-hmm. hard, because that's why I left my other job, was because of burnout. Out.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I come here, and you're doing the same thing to me. It's definitely disheartening.
Yeah.
And then it just makes you feel trapped.
Yeah.
So.
And just, yeah. And that's not a good feeling of being burnt out, especially us being so young in our right. fields. It's just right. like, I'm supposed to still be doing this for how many plus years?
The rest of my life? Yeah. I don't think so.
I'm about to go crazy. Right. I'm about to go crazy. Yeah. And because I can say the same thing, you know, about education. Mm-hmm. I feel like education and nursing is like.
Yeah, go hand in hand. And mm-hmm. it's crazy because our appreciation weeks are the same week. And then on top of that, I feel like. These fields are the fields that women went into, like when yeah. we were allowed to officially work, teaching and yeah, nursing. Yeah,
like the helping careers. Yeah, it's just like,
and these are the ones that are always fighting for equal pay or right
yeah,
pay
or just pay. Period. Yeah, can pay. We get some money? Can we get some money, please?
I yeah. think that says a lot about our professions. Is why they mirror each other so much.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah. And it's like you got to deal with other stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely being a black female, I would say in leadership positions, mm-hmm. you have to, going back to our first point, mm-hmm. it's like you got to tread lightly. You have to, first of all, you got to own who you are.
Yes.
And I think I'm slowly going into that, and mm-hmm. it's like, this is who I am. I mm-hmm. might be silly, I might be playful, but right. that's how I build relationships. Mm-hmm. I might be sarcastic, but in a good way. Yeah. I'm not going to be dry sarcastic where you don't know if I'm being serious or
right.
not. But you gotta be careful with that, because you're right, like, you don't want to come along like, oh, Kara's so playful or
yeah,
young, she doesn't know what
she's
doing.
She's doing it.
Or Kara's mean, like, mm-hmm. she's, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're always watching you and everything
always.
You do.
Yeah.
And I feel like, because sometimes they put black women in a box, they don't believe we come in, like, variations of, mm-hmm. you know, like, quiet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very, like, personable and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I've even had to explain it to managers as far as when I'm interacting with patients. Sometimes patients will tell me that me being calm mm-hmm. and, like, you know, relaxed helps them get through their experience there, because
yeah.
every patient doesn't need the, hey, how are you doing?
Right.
Da, 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 da.
Like,
it's just
mm-hmm.
like, okay,
yeah.
I'm overwhelmed and you're overwhelming me
yeah,
more.
It's too much. Yeah.
And so...
Yeah,
I think it's important for them to understand that we do come in different personality types, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we are not all the...
We're not all the same.
We're not all the same, and we're not all the Medeas and stuff like that. Like, I'm not here
all
to
Madeas
come
or,
in and make you laugh.
Or Gorilla.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, like...
Or Cardi B.
Right. For me to be your the like, caricature that they have of black women, to
yeah.
be the attitude and... Like, making you laugh, and then the real, like, I'm
yeah.
this is real, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, let's not talk. Oh,
yeah.
Like, the slang that
they
I hear
use that
when people
me.
Would talk mm-hmm. to me, and I was like, I don't talk like that,
I
and I don't appreciate
don't,
you talking to me like
no.
that. Like,
don't call me girlfriend.
Yeah.
I literally never go up to my friend
yeah.
and be like, hey, girlfriend.
Don't do that. Yeah. yeah. Or just with the slang. Like,
yeah.
chill. You're being disrespectful right now.
You
I don't
are.
Want to call you out. And
mm-hmm.
you're like, you're going to have your feelings hurt, but sorry. Because
right.
I ain't come to you doing slang or being.
Whatever
no,
y'all
stop.
Say.
Yeah.
So I don't come and
you
do
say
that.
Whatever y'all say. yeah. It's just out of pocket.
Yeah.
yeah
so.
Yeah. So.
That's definitely something.
Well, let's see. And I was trying to look at this art or look at different articles or just
mm-hmm.
look at different tips
mm-hmm.
That the good old internet social media has. for us black females, for tips for us. Mm-hmm. And the first one that really stands out or that I kept seeing was just move boldly. And okay. I think that goes back to, like, understanding who you are. Mm-hmm. But that also changed from time to time. Mm-hmm. But not being afraid of who you are and owning it and then mm-hmm. making people realize, like, this is me, this is who I am.
Right. Yeah. And being confident, like you said, being bold, mm-hmm. but being confident and knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. Because in the beginning of nursing, I dealt with a lot of imposter syndrome, a lot of feeling like, oh, wow, am I supposed to be here? Especially more so because I wasn't seeing people who looked like me as often. And so if you don't have that confidence, when people come to you about saying, like, I remember one manager when I first came in, he was just like, oh, the nursing staff, like, they feel like you're standoffish. They feel like you don't want to be involved. And it's just like, I'm naturally a quiet person. And you're asking me to come into a space with all these people that I've worked together for years, and you want me to come in and be like, oh, yeah, like, hey, I'm Diamond. It's just like, no, if anything, you should ask them, were they welcoming to me? Mm-hmm. Did they, like, speak to me and, like, make me feel like, okay, I can sit here and talk to you guys? So, and knowing that and learning that and knowing the type of personality that I have and being confident in it, mm-hmm. it kind of helped me, like, get over that. And it also helped me get over the imposter syndrome. And some of that comes into play of, like, learning a new role and then, like, understanding nursing. Because what you learn in school is not always what happens out in the real world.
It's not.
And so that whole thing of
it's navigating a big reality check.
Right? Yes, a big reality check. And so
I have that. I still have that.
Yeah. Oh, I still deal with it sometimes. Yeah. It's just like,
and it's like, that type where it's like, oh, putting a name to it, but mm-hmm. it's like, oh no, I'm pretty sure I have that every day.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, like, am I supposed to be here? And did they just give me the job just to be nice or to meet their quota or something? No. And then it's like multiple people. It's like, no, like, you're really good at your job. Mm-hmm. You're like, and I was like, am I though?
So being confident in your abilities and that you know that you're able to do this. And don't let them talk you out of it.
Right.
Don't let them make you feel like you don't belong. Or like you're some sort of diversity hire or something like that. Don't let anybody make you feel that way. Because more than likely, you had to work twice as hard
to actually Let's not talk about that. Yeah, especially... like that male-female aspect. Right. And so, and we see that too as assistant principals. It's like, okay, like, we got to put in certain work, or is it about who you know? Is it about how I wrote my resume? What like, what am I doing wrong? Right. Or like, what am I missing and stuff? And so, thankfully, I'm not there my job, I'm in my career where I want to move up to principalship just yet. But I feel like when that time comes, it's like, like, so-and-so got the job. Why can't I get that job? Or they got their own school. What's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. So, definitely. Next, they said, stay focused on your goals. Mm. And I think that's good, too, because it could be your specific goals within that job. Mm-hmm. Or, like, okay, this is a role that I quote-unquote, need to have to move to the next position. And so, that can kind of ease your mind and, like, realign while you're really there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would definitely encourage making some sort of checklist of sorts of, like, your goals and what you plan to accomplish in every role you take on.
Right.
Because, again, that's something that I'm dealing with right now.
It's like, why am I here?
Literally.
Now.
me, like, trying to get more into labor and delivery and having to, like, nudging along my managers to be like, hey, this is what I want to do because my end goal is to be a midwife. Yeah. I can't really get there without having this experience. So making sure you stay on top of your, whoever your superior is, for if the goal, like, in order for you to reach the goal, you need to do certain things in this job. Make sure you stay on top of that and you get that experience.
That's good. And just zoning in. It's like, as I'm getting ready to, obviously it's out there now, but as I'm getting ready to go to a new school in the summer or for the new school year, it's like, okay, I need to zoom in with Kara and figure out, like, what are my goals here at this new school. Of course, work with the admin team there. It's like, okay, what are their goals for me or as a team? But you're right. It's like, okay, make a checklist. Like, mm-hmm. what are the things that I want to accomplish, mm-hmm. whether this first year here mm-hmm. or this first semester here? Mm-hmm. And then I think that just helps you to, like, drown out all the outside noise mm-hmm. and be like, nope, I'm here to do this. Or remember, Kara, like, you wanted to do this. Remember, Diamond, mm-hmm. you want to work towards this. So mm-hmm. stay focused, yeah.
And even sometimes making deadlines can help, too, to mm-hmm. be like, okay, making the deadlines with your superior to be like, okay, by this point, let's say 3 months from now, I want to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Is that feasible for this position?
Right.
Because that also helps you assess whether that position is really for you or not.
Or not. That's good right there. That's good. Another point they had, or just some tips, is seek out role models.
Yeah.
Do you have role models or mentors in your field?
I don't.
And Diamond, I feel I'm about to throw this phone.
I know.
I don't. No.
I don't. And I say it all the time, and I feel like that's partially why I'm also always having such a difficult time mm-hmm. is because I don't have the mentors in, like, my field.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been navigating a lot of this on my own. And I've been trying to figure it out on my own without people that are there and who know the experience or who are like, I would love to have like a mentor that's a midwife.
Right, that'd be great because that's something you're working towards. That would
be literally perfect. So it could be like, hey, how do I navigate this? Or like, what are the next steps here and how can I get there?
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that's on my list to secure.
One of your goals,
right? One of my goals is very, very soon.
One of your goals.
To get a mentor because I need it. Yeah. I need it really badly.
That would be good. And then I think too, they can also give some advice and some tips. Be like, yeah, Diamond, like that's little stuff. Just don't trip
don't
over or go back and have a conversation with them about da-da-da. Yeah, that's good.
Right.
I think for me, too, it's like I have role models, but, like, mentors. I'm like, do I have a mentorship where it's, like, meetings and have a conversation? And I do, thankfully. And she's a principal, so it's like, of course, this is something that I want to work towards. And it's like, okay. And I feel like she's good to say, nah, Kara, you're tripping. Like, don't look too much into it. How would you handle that differently?
Right.
And so I think that's been good. And it's also good when they know your field. Mm-hmm. Because it's like when you're talking to somebody who they know your field from the outside, it's like, thanks. Great.
Like, I'll be calling my mom and it's just like, okay, thanks, but that didn't.
Yeah, that's not. You're not understanding.
It's like, okay, it's okay. Fine, mom. It's okay. But even in that, it does help for when, like, if there is a problem, she'll be like, okay, I think maybe you need to speak, like, maybe speaking to somebody in HR to know, like, whether you need to go to HR. So, like, I have that access to be, like, people who are in management and stuff like that. But when it comes to, like, nursing, I don't really have that.
And then I think, too, looking at us, it's like, are we mentoring others? So do you have somebody?
I did. Well, not currently. Mm-hmm. This was right before I left my previous position. Mm-hmm. I did have a mentee
that
was in nursing school. It's actually reminding me to reach out.
Yeah.
And it was actually pretty nice because we would meet up, like, roughly monthly. And, you know, like, talk about things. And this was before she got into the nursing field. Like, she was still a student. And so that was pretty good. And it was nice because I had her on the floor. Mm-hmm. It was literally just for one day as a nursing student. Like, she was shadowing me. And then from that, because I signed up for a program that the hospital had, she, like, put me down as that she wanted me to be her mentor.
Aww.
Just from the one, like, shift she spent with me. And I was just like, oh, that's really, that felt good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I definitely want to do more of that. I think that's important to be able to reach back and help, especially other Black women.
Absolutely.
Right, which is also why I wanted to, like, I want to go get into education, too, in nursing, to have that, like, role model to be, like, hey, listen,
to give
this
back,
is that, and this is what it's going to be like. And
kind of what we needed at that time. I'm trying to think now, too, it's like, I don't really have anybody. Like, I have other APs that we lean on each other, but I wouldn't say I have any mentees just yet. So this is a good reminder or a good, like, reach out to, of course, my district, but, like, the School of Ed, where the MSA programs either at Carolina or Central or A&T. Yeah. It's like, hey, any like black female leaders are looking to get into that, because it's like, again, if you're not in it and you don't understand it, it's kind of scary or lonely, or just you're talking to a brick wall when you're trying to get advice, and it's like, thanks for listening, but you really don't understand what I'm going through. Yeah, and what I'm saying.
There needs to be more mentorship programs. I feel like more colleges should maybe have those.
Like a bridge. Yeah. I know.
Like a mentor to medicine. I don't know. That was something that they had back home.
Copyright that. Mentor to medicine.
That's a thing. Trademark. That's something I was in high school and stuff.
I was like, you gotta write that
down. No.
I feel like Durham has a connection with Carolina.
Oh, okay.
I think Chapel Hill, they're working on a connection to, like, a bridge.
Okay.
But I agree. It's like they should have one. Mm-hmm. Or I think we should, look, me and you, but I think they should have, kind of have, like, they have the RDU.
Mm-hmm.
What is the RDU thing called? Like the group chat?
The RDU Black Professionals?
Yeah.
I always slip up and say the RDU Black People.
Oh, RDU Black People.
But it's Black Professionals.
Because I'm like, we should have like a RDU, like women's mentorship or something.
Any kind of mentorship.
Yeah.
You want to know what? I forgot. I did in the program, I was connected with a mentor. It was a man. And it was like,
he was your mentor, or
he was my mentor.
Uh-huh.
And it was okay.
Yeah. Was he a black man at
he
least?
He was a black, no, okay. It was a black man.
So that helped.
And he was in nursing. Yeah. I completely forgot about him.
That helps too. But yeah, definitely like a program. And it's like,
we should do something like that.
Yeah, we should.
Like, okay.
Put
a pin in it.
No, we're going to put something else on my to-do list. Good Lord. No. But yeah, definitely. I think because it's like we need to continue to have these conversations with our peers and just people at work. And I think the number one takeaway is just address it.
Yeah. Be confident.
Be confident. Yeah. But
and
definitely, yeah, if it doesn't feel right or doesn't sit right, say something.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And don't let anybody like walk over you in any way.
Yeah.
And learning how to navigate that.
But yeah, I feel like there's so many articles and reels and TikToks out there of just like being black in the workspace and black females. And then the beauty of it too is like so many black females are like, we out here doing the damn thing, getting degrees, get into leadership roles and stuff, or going into programs. Right. So, because it's like, we get shit done, excuse my language, but we get it done.
Yeah.
So, hello. So, I think that would be helpful, too. But then, sometimes you got to have those conversations about working with other black females.
That, too. Because sometimes people like to gatekeep. And it's like, good they don't make gatekeep. It any easier for you. Sometimes they're just like, well, I have to be hard on you because somebody was hard on me.
Yeah, it's like, no, stop. Break that cycle and stop.
You don't have to do that. Don't gatekeep, especially as a black woman, because you know it's hard.
You know it's hard. Yeah. It's hard already, so just look out. Now, I'm not saying, like, let me slide whatever.
No, definitely not.
Mm-mm.
I mean, honestly, how I even got my first nursing job was another black woman. Mm-hmm. She was in leadership at the hospital.
That's
and
good.
That kind of helped me.
That was a good relationship?
Yeah, it was
That's
good.
Great.
Yeah. It was a nursing organization that I was in. So that's another thing. Look for professional organizations within your field, because you never know who you can come across.
Yeah, and I love
open
that
door for you.
Yeah, look out with, because you never know who's going to build that bridge. But I had, prior to coming to Chapel Hill, a black female principal that was very strong. And like, she's still someone who I could call up daily and be like, hey, I need help.
Yeah.
But it's like, she definitely did not gatekeep, which was excellent.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why?
Why gatekeep?
Why would you do?
And I don't know what it is about us. And I'm pretty sure it's rooted in our history of why we always feel like we have to like get it out the mud. We have to work the hardest. And so you can be like, I did this. It's just like,
no, stop.
If you can reach out, if you can call some, because the other people do it all the time.
Yeah, that's how networking they get, and stuff. Yeah.
So if you can reach out, call somebody, you can pull somebody up, do it.
Do that, please.
Like, don't make
please
life do harder than it has to be, because life is naturally complicated.
Yeah, I like that. Life is naturally complicated. Because it is.
Yeah.
But I think this was a good episode, a good space for us to talk about our experiences and be proactive and share some tips and, like, know that we're not alone in this and know sometimes you're not tripping when things happen at work. Like, it's
not you. It's not always you.
It's not always you. Like,
So, thanks again, guys, for tuning in to another episode. And we will see you on the next one.
All right, bye, y'all.
Yeah, we highly melanated. Arc Android orchestrated. Yeah, Geminati still jamming. Box office numbers and they doing outstanding. Running out of space in my damn bandwagon. Remember when they used to say I look too mannish? Black girl magic, y'all can't stand it. Y'all can't ban it. Made out like a bandit. They've been trying hard just to make us all vanish. I suggest they put a flag on a whole nother planet. Jane Bond, never Jane Doe.